Before we go on, I want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of today's episode, which is Armoire. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. I will admit I was a little skeptical at first because I'm not the type of person who dresses up very often, but you guys, this is actually so perfect and I'm genuinely so excited about this new membership with Armoire. And I want to tell you what the process was like for me. I got onto their website and I mean, there were so much to choose from. I ended up choosing 6 items and I was kind of like, we'll see what happens, you know, not sure how they were going to arrive, if they were going to be like noticeably used or what. But listen, 2 days after I placed my like case order, it showed up on my doorstep. Everything was like, when I pulled it out of the bag, everything was neatly folded and then tied up in this really pretty little bow. And I got so excited. I'm actually taking a trip to Dallas with my daughter soon, so I'm gonna wear an outfit for that. Austin and I are gonna go to a Teddy Swims concert, so I got an outfit for that. I'm like, you guys, I'm so excited about this because everything showed up in great condition. I mean, I think it looks brand new. And it's $900 worth of clothes that I'm renting for less than $100. And the best part for me is that I can just send it back. I don't typically dress up that often, but this is so perfect for like the random occasions that I do dress up without having to go and like splurge on an entire new outfit that I might only wear once. I will be honest, I feel guilty that over half of my closet has only been worn once, if at all. And there are even a few items that are going to Goodwill with the tags on them. So I love being on trend and having new things to wear, but I hate the waste that I'm creating when I do that, right? So Armoire allows me to rent these high quality designer clothes for any occasion and then just send it back. If you've got a wedding or a job interview or just like anything that you just want to kind of dress up a little bit. But the nice thing is they also have athleisure. So I got this really cute Kate Spade anorak jacket that I can wear with like a pair of leggings, and it just kind of makes you feel a little more dressed up while you're still dressed down. I also got some really cool floral wide leg pants from Steve Madden with this really cute denim halter like front vest top to go with it. And just in case that doesn't work out, I got another option too to go with the pants, and then I can have like kind of 2 outfits in one. You guys, I cannot tell you enough how excited I am about this. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/mama. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/mama to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Please try Armoire today. And if you do, tag me in the pictures of your outfits so I can get some inspiration and kind of see what y'all are getting. But this is so fun. I'm really, really excited about this. Thanks again to Armoire for sponsoring today's episode. And now back to the story.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot, so it's time to get your grilling on. Pick up the Traeger Pro Series 22-pellet grill and smoker, now on special buy for $389, was $549. Smoke a rack of ribs or bake an apple pie, this grill is versatile enough to do it all. This summer, no matter how you like your steaks, your barbecues are guaranteed to be well done. Celebrate 4th of July with fast free delivery on select grills right now at the Home Depot. Subject to availability.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/Spotify.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
I am your co-host, Austin.
And today's episode is going to be really different because it's literally unlike anything we've done before. This is not going to be a Mama Minute where we just talk about like, oh, la-di-da life stuff. And it's also not going to be a story about a true crime case everybody knows. We're going to talk about something that happened in our backyard literally this morning. And also just the last 10 days, because it's just been such a whirlwind. So I was just talking to you last night, Austin, about how we always have our best conversations in the evening, because that's like when we kind of catch up with each other and we talk about things, and then we kind of go like down a little bit of a rabbit hole. But I always think to myself, like, gosh, this would be good for a podcast episode. But, you know, a lot of the topics that we do talk about are kind of random. They're not usually related to true crime. Mm-hmm. However, what's been going on
today was
definitely a true crime. So to just back it up real quick, I'll start with like how this whole whirlwind started. The last like 10 days have just been crazy. So, it all started, you know, bad things come in threes. And the first thing that happened was I was rear-ended by this idiot who I'm pretty sure didn't have insurance. But thankfully, I didn't have that much damage to my car. And it's just going to be probably a simple, like, pop the dent out and buff it. But the story was just so weird because I was literally in the car wash and I all of a sudden just felt this big jolt, like I got pushed, but I thought that the car wash like machine broke down or something and that everybody stopped because of that. So like I didn't even suspect in the moment that I was rear-ended. The guy behind me, he was just like this, I don't know, he was kind of a troll, but he ran into me. And then so we exit the car wash and I get out and I look at, I see there's scratches and a dent on the back bumper of my car. And then he drives all the way around and parks as far as he possibly can away from me. So I have to like waddle over there because I'm 7 months pregnant at this point. And I was like, hey, do you have your insurance information? And he was like, well, I don't have any damage to my car. And I'm like,
don't give a shit.
In my head, I'm thinking, I don't give a fuck about your car. I care about my car. And that's not really how insurance works. So why do you think I'm asking you for insurance? It was just a very bizarre situation. And honestly, having to talk to this guy was like the worst part of all of it. So that happened, whatever, we get past it. Then a couple days later, we're at the house and Kennedy, our 9-year-old daughter, was eating ice cream and running around in her socks. And she slipped and fell on our tile floor and face planted the tile floor. She broke her nose and she broke her two front teeth. Like she put a V right in the middle of her teeth. It was so traumatic. And it was just one of those situations where you literally, all you see is blood and broken teeth. And you're just like, get in the car. Like I don't know where we're going, but we're going somewhere to fix you because obviously there's something wrong. It's just like your mind as a mother goes to all these places, but like, it's all about like, how can I fix this immediately? And it's like, I'll deal with the emotional stuff later. But
that was wild because Kennedy screams bloody murder, but then there's another echo of a scream because it's Jack, who you learn then how much he loves his sister.
Yeah.
Because he took it harder than her, like as far as the reaction, probably.
Oh my gosh, he was so freaked out. And you know, Jack has broken his arm before, and Kennedy was bummed that he had to spend the night in the hospital. But I think truly at the time, Kennedy was really young. I think she was more a little jealous of the attention Jack was getting, because she never really expressed, you know, feeling bad for Jack. But now they are a little older, they're a little more mature. And Jack was terrified because he thought she broke her leg. Like, that was his thought process. That was
what was in his head, yeah. And it was a wild deal. But she was a trooper, man. You talk about resilient. She ends up not having a fractured roots in the teeth.
Right.
And so doesn't need a root canal.
And no, we don't need implants. She'll probably eventually have to get crowns. But I'm very thankful for our dentist, Caitlin, who got her in immediately that night and checked her out just to make sure that everything was okay, gave her an antibiotic, built her up the next day, got a CAT scan on her face too, to check out her nose. It was just, there was a lot. And that happened like last week.
It's crazy, the motherly instinct, because I run upstairs. I saw Kelly. Kelly was, you know, tending to her. And we both had just showed up there in the corner of the hallway at the same time. And it was just, I mean, I say motherly. It was a motherly instinct for sure, but I had the instinct too. It's just, The thought we had was immediately, Kelly said, we have to go. Once I heard you say that, I carried her to the car. We put her in the car. And I thought it was interesting how she's in the car and we have no idea where she's going. Like, worst case scenario, we're going to ER, but we have friends we can call, which I'm very grateful for. Mm-hmm. And so you start calling these people and it's like, I don't know. It's just wild how to think, okay, go get in the car. I don't even know where we're going yet, but we know we're going somewhere.
Yeah. And then Kennedy's like, well, what about August, our 2-year-old who's still in the house?
And I'm like, shit, I better stay.
I was like, I'm taking her. But then also in my mind, I don't know like how it even came to my mind, but I literally like threw myself on the floor to search for her teeth because I thought they can glue her teeth back on if I can just find the pieces that broke off. And then the next day I was so sore and I was like, oh, it's probably because I was throwing myself on the floor and running around and I have this huge belly that I wasn't thinking about.
Another super wild thing about it all was the friends we have that we called, like, they're like, hey, I know it's stressful. Check her teeth like this, check her nose like this. And they're like, hey, this isn't bad. This happens all the time. And it's like, man, I can't fathom being a doctor or somebody with a degree like that, that's around that all the time and can pause and just say, oh, this isn't that bad. It's like, what?
Right? I'm literally, that I had to pull over and take a picture of her to send it to our oral surgeon friend. When I took the picture, I was like, I'm pretty sure her nose is broken, Adam. And Kennedy's like, my nose is broken. And I'm like, well, yeah, girl, it's like flat and wide and blue. And it's like instantly swelling. I knew it was broken. But I sent him the picture. I had to pull over and take this picture. And, he was like, okay, so it doesn't look that bad. I ended up having to delete the picture off my phone because I couldn't even look at it. But he was like, it's not that bad, believe it or not. But I'm just, when it's your kid though, and all you see is blood and swelling and broken teeth, it's like, holy shit. You know, you flip the F out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I did. But she's fine though. And then we get home and she's like, Jack, it's fine. I just look funny because Jack was afraid to look at her and
scared to death to see her teeth, it scares me too. Like, hats off to people who look at that and can, anybody who handles trauma and surgery. It's like I can feel the pain coming through my teeth seeing it, so strange.
Yeah. So I know like we're talking to a bunch of listeners who don't know us personally really that well, but when I was 9, some of you might know this story, but when I was 9, I fell off of a high dive. And Kennedy's 9. So the irony here is not lost on me. But I was at a community pool up the street from my house, and my sister and brother and I, we would often just walk up there in the summer while our parents were at work. So literally we're at the pool by ourselves. And I got up on the top of the high dive and I turned around to talked to whoever was behind me in line. And I guess when I turned back around, my foot slipped off the top of the board. And then I fell between the board and the bars 10 feet down to the concrete below. Mm-hmm. So I broke my jaw because I landed on my chin. I don't know how I didn't break my neck or die, but landed on my chin, broke a lot of teeth. I broke a lot of teeth, traumatized my molars. And so I had to get crowns on my molars and a root canal after the fact.
That was gnarly. I mean, you really did it.
I spent some time in the hospital. I had my mouth wired shut, and then I had a Herbst appliance, which I don't know, like not many people are going to know what a Herbst appliance is, but it's this like device that you have to wear that's attached to your teeth that has these bolts that kind of stick out and protrude, and then your lip just kind of sets on top of it. Well, my lip ended up growing around it. And so they had to laser my lip off. It was just like Murphy's Law, like anything that could go wrong seemed to be going wrong. But I made it out just fine. But now I have like dental anxiety. So when I see Kennedy,
rightfully so,
when I see my daughter, my baby, who's also 9, screaming blood and teeth, and I'm just like, no, this can't be happening. But it also made me think about what my parents went through, because to minimize what happened to Kennedy, but like what I went through was way worse. And I can't imagine the fear that they felt knowing the fear I felt seeing Kennedy. But anyway, it's just crazy. When you become a parent, I think it really humanizes your own parents. Yeah. And you realize just how human your own parents are once you have kids.
And you learn that, like, as you're a parent and like just as you get older, you start to learn that like everything in life, we're all just winging it.
Yeah.
Doing the best we can. We don't all know shit. And so everybody thinks, like, when you're younger, you think like, oh, parents know exactly what's up. Yeah. When you're 30, you know everything. Or you think when you get to be older, you're like, oh, they're 50. They know. It's like, no.
No, we all feel like we just graduated from high school or college not that long ago.
Yeah,
and
we all
think 20 years ago was in the 80s. Like,
literally. Oh my gosh. The other day I was with, I can't remember who I was with, but I was with somebody and they said 30 years ago. Well, 30 years ago in my head, I was thinking 1970s.
Oh my God, I can't think about it.
I was thinking 1970s.
I know.
And then 30 years ago, I'm like, oh shit, I'm 31.
Mm-hmm. I was 7 or 6.
So the 30 years ago is 90s. God. Like something like in the other day, I was talking to somebody about the steroid era of baseball, which is like the late 90s into the early 2000s. And I was thinking, gosh, steroid era. And I'm like, oh my God, that's 25 years ago. And yeah. Time is weird.
Time flies. And when you really think about how much time passes, it gets really weird. But yeah, like you said about being parents, like you realize how human your parents are, but also I feel like, cause I had a mom who was addicted and like made some really poor choices. And now that I'm a mom about to have number 4, I still can't really wrap my head around some of the choices that she made. And I thought I would have more grace because like after I had kids, but actually it kind of turned me the other way to be like, gosh, man, how could you do that? How could you make those choices? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the flip side of the coin, is like realizing how human they are, but also being disappointed in that realization sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's like a total side tangent.
No, it's good. It's good stuff though.
Yeah. So we're going to take a really quick break and then we're going to talk about what happened this morning because it's a lot. Yeah. So a few weeks ago, Austin took me on a quick little surprise trip to Cancun, and it was so dreamy and beautiful and relaxing, but truly one of my favorite parts, literally, was practicing my Spanish while I was there. And I know it sounds totally nerdy, and I will own that, but I have been teaching myself Spanish for a bit now, and even my son, my 10-year-old son and I, are learning together because he's interested too. So not only is it this huge confidence booster to be able to communicate in two languages, but I also felt like speaking to someone in their native language was an extra little sprinkle of respect for them, and that just felt really good. There's even a child in my son's class who speaks exclusively Spanish, and so the thought of my son learning so that he can try and talk to her and make her feel welcome in the classroom just really warms my heart. And my son and I are able to learn directly from this app on our phone. We have lessons literally in the palm of our hand with Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. You can use it on your computer, your tablet, or your phone, and it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years now, with millions of users and 25 languages offered. There's Spanish, French, Chinese, Korean, Italian. I mean, the list goes on. And the way it teaches you is truly immersive. It's thought-provoking and allows you to pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences, because it's designed for long-term retention. And there's even a feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. So unlike that grandma in Napoleon Dynamite, you'll be saying quesadilla the right way. So don't put off learning that language that you've been wanting to learn. There is no better time than right now to get started, because for a very limited time, Mama Mystery listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/mama. That is 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/mama today. Okay, so this morning, this has all happened in the last 10 days. This is what's so freaking nuts. And I've actually been working on a case. We're going to talk about the Karen Reed case and all of that. I don't know if you all saw my Instagram. I made that Instagram story about diving into this case yesterday before all this happened. And then today I was like, I can't even focus. I can't get my head on straight. We just got to talk conversationally.
Yeah. So this morning we had... I'm going to say our contractor. So we have a contractor, but a great friend of ours. He's like family. Mm-hmm. And his name's Keith. And so Keith was over and he wasn't supposed to be here, but he happened to be here to replace a toilet in our master bathroom. And then he ended up going down to our pool house to get a shop vac. And in doing so, I'm upstairs, our son's on the couch.
The 2-year-old.
Or, a 2-year-old, yeah. Kelly's working, and Keith comes running in, screaming my name. And like, if you know Keith, like Keith doesn't scream.
I've never heard him scream.
Yeah, but you could tell something was bad. And I ran out to where he was, and he said, "Somebody's in your effing pool house." And I'm like, okay. And so this is crazy, because like now it's easier to look at all of this and talk about it hindsight. But with zero hesitation, I ran, and he's normally armed all the time. For some reason, he didn't have his gun on him today. And so I didn't ask him. Like I was thinking about this after the fact, and me and Keith talked. I didn't ask him, how do you know? Did you see somebody? My gut reaction and Keith's gut reaction, I ran and got a shotgun, handed it to him, then ran to get another gun for myself and get 911 on the phone. And that was just
your instinct.
Like, yeah. And like we talked about that, because I have other friends that they wouldn't be the person I would choose to be with me for that situation if I could choose.
Yeah.
They're just not that person. But Keith and I, like, that was our instinct. Like, in my opinion, the role of a male in a household is to protect and to provide. Mm-hmm. And so that was my instinct. So I run and get a shotgun. So then Kelly comes running upstairs because she heard it.
Yes.
And I'll let you say what you were feeling.
So Keith, I hear yelling. And my initial thought, knowing he was replacing that toilet, was, oh, a toilet is like flooding and he's yelling because he needs help turning the water off and I need to grab towels. Like, that's truly what I was thinking as I was coming up the stairs. And then I saw you walk out of our bedroom with a shotgun and I was like, oh my God. Then my mind switched to, holy shit, our dogs are getting attacked. Because we kind of live on a little bit of acreage and it's not unusual to see coyotes roaming in the woods behind our house. And there has even been mountain lions spotted in this area. So my thought was the dogs are getting attacked. So you handed me the phone and I see 911 on the screen and you're like, there's an intruder. Tell him our address.
And I was running to get myself a pistol.
And I'm thinking like, okay. And so I scoop up August, our 2-year-old, and I'm telling the dispatcher our address and that we have a gate. And so I'm thinking like someone's got to get her through the gate. Like she needs either a code or whatever. And then I'm thinking they've got guns, like, just so you know, like there's guns out. So like, if you need to tell the dispatch or the cops that, like, you know, my mind was just going all over the place. And then
and you were so caught off guard.
So caught off guard. Because I'm thinking, I go from in 30 seconds thinking, okay, a toilet's flooding, to, oh my God, we're losing our dogs, to actually, no, there is a stranger who just broke into our property. Guest. An yeah. uninvited guest. We know nothing. We know nothing about who he is, what he's
doing. There was no
doing.
Time to discuss anything.
No, we don't know if he's alone. We don't know anything. If he's armed.
So I run back by Kelly, grab the phone out of her hand. And her motherly instinct, she takes our two-year-old into the closet just thinking, if bullets start flying, don't want to get hit with them, which was super smart.
Well, yeah, because the back of our house has a lot of windows that face the pool. And so, like, I knew that's where the action was happening. And I thought if bullets start flying, they're coming through the window. So my thought was get August away from the windows.
Yeah. So I run out there and Keith and I have talked about this, and it's crazy because, like, you know, before this, if I had to choose somebody to go through something like this with, Keith would have been the top of the list. And I joked with him. I said, I don't know if you would have chose me top of the list. And he was like, well, now I know I would have, which was felt good. But anyways, I run out there. I go to the opposite side of the pool house. So we're each like quartering where this guy would come out.
The only exit.
Yeah. And so the way Keith discovered him was, he went down to get the shop vac, went into the pool house. Well, the pool house is never locked, and there's like a snack bar area. And then behind that, there's another door that goes into what I would call the pump house, where the pumps and the filters are. And so Keith walks in there, and the door is locked. And he's like, that's weird. Reaches around the window, unlocks the door, then goes to walk in the pump house and notices the lights on, thought that was strange, goes to open it. And as he's pushing it open, he kind of puts his body into it because it won't open. And there's a body on the other side that slams the door shut. And he's like, shit. And that's when he ran in and yelled for us. And so we're both quartering this pool house, not knowing who's in there, not knowing if they're armed, not knowing how many people there are, knowing nothing, right? Then I'm on the phone with the police. And so then the dogs were right next to me. And I'm like, I don't want the dogs to get shot. And so I run the dogs back up and inside. And I'm on the phone. And as I'm running back around the side of the pool house, and we're waiting for the cops, and I start hearing sirens, so I know they're getting close. Keith says he's coming out. And whenever I heard he's coming out, I told the dispatcher, I got to give massive props through all of this to not only the police officers and just police officers in general, like underpaid, underappreciated. They put themselves in scary situations all the time. And God, hats off to police officers, underpaid, underappreciated.
And they confront it head on, no hesitation.
And like, they walk up on cars in the middle of the night and like the things they do, like, man, hats off to law enforcement. Anyways, even the dispatcher though, like I told Kelly after all this, I said, I wish I could call the dispatcher back and tell her, you know, great job and thank you.
Yeah,
truly.
He was like, can I call 911 and just thank her? And I'm like, well, you're probably not going to get the same person, but I get where you are coming from.
Yeah. And I wasn't literally going to call him, but I'm just thinking it though. I'm like, hats off to them. They're trained to stay calm. And so anyways, whenever I said they're coming out, the lady on the phone was like, you know, don't escalate the situation. Don't escalate the situation. Or if you can avoid it or something. And I was like, ma'am, I don't know if he's armed. You might hear shots fired. Mm-hmm. And then I set my phone down and he came out with his hands up and Keith yelled, kiss the pavement, which I gave him some shit for because I thought that was, after the fact, that was kind of a funny way to say it. Anyways, obvious altercation, telling him to get on the ground and stuff. He gets down on the ground, get your hands behind your back, told him to shut his mouth because he kept talking. And then it was just, man, it was, I mean, that's a nightmare, right, to deal with an intruder. And I can say this, I've always. I mean, I'm wondering if everybody does. As a kid, I would be scared of that. I've always been afraid of that. Mm-hmm. And like as a kid, obviously more fear. And then as an adult, more of like, be prepared if something like that happens. Mm-hmm. And man, you're in that situation and it's not, at least for me, I'm not a Billy Badass alpha male that's like, I'm gonna fuck them up, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna bounce their head off the pavement. I'm not like that. I had the gun pointed at this guy's head and did not want to have to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to have to take someone's life. But knowing that, like, if this gun's getting fired, that's what it's doing. And don't move and don't take off. And you don't know. You don't know what he has on him.
He could reach
you don't know
for.
If he has drug needles on him. He's going to stab you. You don't know if he has a gun. You don't know
if there's someone else behind him.
You don't know if anybody else is in there. Right.
There's so much you don't know.
There's so much unknown. And everybody can sit there and say what they would do and, well, what I would have done. Billy Badass. No, I'm just, you're just, in my mindset, protect. And if you got to kill him, I don't want to do this. But I'm not going to, I wasn't aiming at his feet. I was aiming at his head. And it's a scary thing.
It's terrifying. And I, when I was in the closet with August, I was shaking and I couldn't breathe. And all I could think about was, God, if this gets worse and Austin has to shoot whoever this person is.
Or Keith.
They're going to carry that with them forever. And so I just was thinking, I wasn't even thinking so much about you guys getting hurt because you guys made such a great team and you handled it so like methodically and like just so it was, it, I know you say that it was all on adrenaline and just split second decisions, you know, but the way you guys handled it, you couldn't have handled it any better. And so I'm just in the back thinking like, I have total faith in Austin and Keith to protect themselves in this house and Austin or in August and I, but I just really hope they don't have to do something that's going to haunt them forever.
Yeah. And on that same point, like, it, you know, and I'm grateful to say this, it, the way it all played out, like Keith and I, we talked on the phone and it was like, we didn't have a, like Keith made a joke. He goes, dude, it's almost like we'd been trained or something. Everything we did was a natural gut instinct. And I'm proud to say that. And I'm grateful to say that. But like, even coming at it, like when we were talking, I ran around the backside of the pool house and we were both quartering from different angles. That wasn't talked about. We didn't go, you go over there, I'll go over. We were 100% just in sync. Mm-hmm. I had his back, he had mine, and we were trying to just protect. And it was crazy. So yeah. The guy ends up, the cops show up shortly after, and cops, again, hats off to him. You know, one of them that showed up, I knew him, great guy. He ends up getting him in cuffs, recognized him, which this is kind of another topic, but it's just recognize the guy because he's a frequent flyer. And so sits him down, then they search the pool house, and I don't say this to be Billy Badass, but I'll say it because this is my natural reaction. I told the guy, if you come back here again, you will not leave. Like, you're not. Because if you come back here again, you really have a death wish. Like, really think about that. If you have any qualms with what I just said, really think about the fact that if this guy were to come back to this house again, when he claims, I guess I haven't said this, he claims that he was just there for shelter for overnight to stay warm. And I believe it. I mean, it's crazy to say I believe the guy. Mm-hmm. I don't trust him. But, like, I do think he was just looking for somewhere warm. He said he ducked a wooden fence and he saw it and he went in there and he had plugged in these work lights. You could tell he was trying to probably get some heat off of those. And the whole thing was like, it's the whole thing, that person, that just like you say on all these episodes, it's a human. And that's a human. And that's a really sad freaking thing that's what that guy's life is. And
because you have to know it's in somewhere in your brain that there's a chance you could get caught doing this really bad thing. And the way the world is right now, like you have to expect that you could get a gun pulled in your face because how are we supposed to know in that moment when we find you in our pool house and you're slamming the door against us because you don't want to be found? Like, what option do you give us? My first instinct isn't going to be, oh, could he use some water? Can I go get him anything?
Right.
No, it's going to be what the fuck and get everybody safe because you don't know. I have a true crime podcast. Like talk about picking the worst possible house, but I've got this mindset of like, you can't trust anybody. And come to find out, this wasn't even the first place that he tried to break into last night. There was multiple people who live near us who sent me messages saying, we caught this guy on our Ring camera. At least three different people have come out saying, yeah, he was poking around our backyard. Another person said he was poking around their driveway and like going through their property. And then another person said they have him on Ring camera trying to
I didn't know that.
Open their door to their house and then like throwing his fist up and yelling when nobody came to the door and they don't know who he was. So
I didn't know that.
Like your first instinct has to be this guy could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Act appropriately.
Yeah. You don't roll up and ask them if they need something.
No.
And it's so Man, I'm grateful for the whole thing, the way the whole thing worked out. Mm-hmm. Grateful we don't have to live with anything and that nobody, it didn't, wasn't more serious, but.
Yeah, nobody got hurt.
But holy shit. I'll say this. This is the first political statement I've ever made on this podcast. I wonder if you're going to delete it.
I'm not.
If you're one of these people that says take away guns, the bad guys can get the guns too.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those people that says defund the police, you're a moron.
Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for the police. I know that every group has their rotten apples. Okay? 100%.
Are there dirtbag cops? Sure. Are there dirtbags everywhere? Yeah, absolutely. Dirtbag of every color, shape, size.
But the ones that showed up at our house today were people I am very grateful for.
And if you don't have, like, think of that situation. If you don't have guns, or if you, if the police were defunded, what do you do? And what if he has a gun? Because that's the way the world works isn't, oh, you can't do that, so nobody does that. No, you can't do that, and then bad guys break the law.
Yeah, drugs are illegal, and they still find a way to get their hands on those. Yeah. So just so making them illegal
rape and all the other crimes, like, it doesn't cut it.
No.
And so it's just, and I don't really care if people don't like that. I can't imagine. The people that listen to this are people who think we need to take away guns or we need to, it's just crazy. And you have to be able to protect yourself. You have to be able to protect your family. When that was all done with, and after I thought about how grateful I was, everything went and everything, I thought of one person who I've had conversations with them before about not owning guns and how they need to own a gun. And I've literally had conversations and I've said, this has come out of my mouth. Dude, you can thank my wife for having Mama Mystery Podcast, but what are you going to do if somebody comes in there into your house and wants to massacre your whole family? What are you going to do? You're going to have a baseball bat and they have a gun? What are you going to do? Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I would rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And there are ways to handle them safely. There's ways to teach your family or your children, you know, how serious they are and not to touch them. And there's ways to keep them locked up so they're not just easily accessible. There's ways to make it work. Mm-hmm. But
and can mistakes still happen? Yeah. And that's horrible. And obviously we're not going to sit here and hit all the asterisks of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But in general, you can't just take them away. And I'm
so glad that we had them because if it got any worse or if he had a gun or whatever. I mean, I'm thankful we had them and didn't necessarily need them, but I'm really glad we didn't need them and not have them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and one thing that was eye-opening to me today also, I told you this earlier, is having multiple guns. I've always had guns positioned in safe put up spots, but where they are readily convenient, different parts of the house, vehicles, whatever. And my mindset on that is, like you just said, you need it, you got it. Mm-hmm. But today, and then I've always thought when people have multiple guns or people have like a whole arsenal, I've always thought one of two things. Okay, that's a hobby of yours, right? Or like my situation, our situation where we have these and they're strategically placed. But I've never in my life thought of until today, because Keith normally carries. Keith wasn't carrying. I was immediately able to arm Keith and arm myself. And if I would have needed to arm you, I could have armed you. And we could have armed 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people, right? And that is something I'd never thought of until today where it's like, man, you should definitely have one. Wouldn't hurt to have two or three. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, and I'm here to tell you today, I'd never thought of that until I was in the situation today.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I posted this story on my Facebook page because I usually get pretty good engagement on Facebook and I usually only put things on there that I think people will either be interested in or benefit from. And so I made this a public post and a lot of people were sharing it and they were very, very supportive, but there's always got to be the one, that
which
one
shouldn't even
person.
Get a call out, but it's more so just silly. It's laughable.
It's just silly because this one person was like, okay, like have some decency for this guy. And I'm like,
well, she said, the girl said, okay, he was in your pool house, but he didn't do anything.
Right. And you
should
know,
we have gone and got him a Pop-Tart? Right. Hey, come on out. I got you a beer and a Pop-Tart. Let's talk.
Let's what talk about why you're doing this, why you're making bad choices.
Yeah, you walk down to a pool house and you get slammed out of your property. Who in their right mind says, well, have some compassion for him?
Those are the type of people, though, who have never probably had something like this happen, who they'll never be able to understand the fear I felt whenever I was in the closet with our baby, the baby in my belly and the baby in my lap, unable to really take a deep breath and calm down because I didn't know what was going on. That's a helpless feeling. And they don't understand the fear that you and Keith probably felt not knowing what was about to happen next. That's a terrible, terrible situation to be in. Mm-hmm. I don't wish it on anybody, but people who speak like that, I'm just like, it's easy for you to say that behind your little glass screen of your little iPhone. But if you have not actually been in this situation, you have no right to tell me how to feel about it.
The weird thing is, though, so I agree with you, obviously, but here's what I'll say. I'll go a step further. A lot of people have never been in this situation, but can at least have normal logic to say,
right.
I mean, to me, like, I don't know. Here's the deal. People like that, I just know we're never going to get along, and that's okay. It's no different than when I'm going down the road and somebody's going 5 under the speed limit. I don't even need to meet that person.
To know that I'm not going to like him.
Me and you aren't going to get along. We're just, and it's not to say, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. We're just very different people. If you're going 5 under, 10 under, we're not the same. We got different risk thresholds. We got different values. We're just different. And that's okay. Different. That's okay. We can be different, but you're not my friend if you go 10 under the speed limit.
Yeah. And I'm just going to pass you and get on with my life. And you can leave your comment and I'm just going to get along with, I'm just going to get on with my life because people like you, I just feel like people like that who make comments like that, who have to be different and go against the grain. Mm-hmm. It's almost like this pick me kind of attitude. It's like, it's within the realm of pick me girl, but it's this altruistic, holier than thou type of perception to be like, well, let's all love each other and have compassion for this criminal. And it's like, do you have any compassion for me and like my family and what we just went through? Because it could, and if it were worse, like, yeah, thank God nobody got hurt, but like, we don't know what kind of damage he did and could have done in that moment, you know?
And like, you can align exactly. Like, here's the deal. I'll speak for both of us. I say this because I think we're both very aligned. You tell me if I'm wrong. Like, is there a place in the corner of my heart where I look at that guy and I'm like, it's sad. It's absolutely sad. And I wish there was more out there to help people with addiction and mental health and everything else. I wish that was the case. But it doesn't change the fact of, like, I'm going to protect my family when that happens.
Yeah.
You know? And like that's a whole nother topic, but like, man, mental health and all of the shit people out there and the lack of housing and the problems are endless. And like, you want to know a root of something that I don't know how you ever fix it, but if you want to be really intrigued, look up, and I'm going to pull my phone out right now and do it while I talk. If you want to be really intrigued, start researching world population and how much world population and U.S. population has. We'll look up the U.S. since that's us, right? The U.S., okay, there's 333 million people in the USA, okay? But if you go back to 1950, in 1950, there was 158 million. Go back further to 1920, there was 106 million, okay? U.S. population projection, okay, and this is like crazy interesting. U.S. population projection 2100. Okay, so in 80 years, which isn't like crazy, 80 years ago there was 150 million. Now there's 330. In 2100, there's going to be, in 2080, hitting around 370 million. By 2100, it's going to increase again. I can't find it right here off the cuff. But my whole point is like, the overpopulation of the world, and I don't know how you fix that, but is that not a factor? Like, there's only so much land, and there's only so much housing. And so, you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, our resources are going to be very overwhelmed and
they already
insufficient.
And it's already starting to feel that way.
And so you have to, at some point take things into your own hands when something like this happens to protect yourself. And like you said, like I have compassion too for people in shitty situations. And I always think my mind, when I see someone that's like clearly addicted to meth, like this guy was, or like homeless people, even just in general, I think they were a baby once. They yes. were wrapped in a swaddle once. They had a mother and a father, and I don't know what their involvement was, but I think, you know, kids don't have a choice on who they're born to or what kind of lifestyle or situation they're born into. I do think about that, and I have sympathy for that. I just wish that those circumstances didn't have to have this contagious effect where it seeps in like a cancer to other people's lives and it hurts other people. I wish there was more resources to redirect and, you know, get people to choose a different path. But this guy in particular, just this one guy, has a record. He's
got a lot of them do though.
Oh, for sure. But what I'm saying is that what he's doing, what he did to us, is a habitual thing. He's done it before. He's been arrested. He's, you know, burnt a lot of bridges from what I've heard. And so at some point, my compassion stops mm-hmm. when your courtesy and your decency invades my space mm-hmm. and affects me and my family. 100%. Then I'm like, I don't have compassion for you anymore. If I would have seen you anywhere else, if I would have seen you curled up in a bus stop or something and using that to get warm, then, or going anywhere else, there's other places that don't involve invading someone's personal property.
It's too close to home.
It's just literally. Too close. Yeah. You're literally in my backyard. You're literally on walking around my property when I'm asleep and my kids are asleep. That does not set well with me.
It's weird. Yeah. It's man, freaking strange. The whole thing's strange. People should have guns. You should get guns. If you don't, if you're a good person and you don't have a gun, you should for sure get a gun.
And if you think that this isn't going to happen to you, I'm telling you right now, it can. And it very well might. It happened to us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Let this be your sign. You know, I was talking to one of my best friends earlier and I was like, I don't want anyone to hear this and be like, yeah, I've been thinking about getting cameras, or I've been thinking about getting an alarm system, or I've been thinking about getting a gun. But I just, you know, don't wait until it happens and you need it, but you don't have it. Like, act now. Let this be your sign that somebody you know personally, you guys know us, you've listened to us for a while. It happened to us of all people. Like, just take that for what you will and protect yourself, or have a plan to protect yourself, if anything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think off the topic of this, okay, but just mm-hmm. in general, having plans, I think, is really important. I think that, like, you know, have a plan if the grid goes down. Talk to your family and say, if communications go down and we don't hear from each other by blank time, everybody meet here. Mm-hmm. You know, do things like that. Like, get your house in order.
Yeah, you have a plan in place if there's a fire. You have a plan in place if there's a tornado. You have plans in place for other disasters. Why not these? These disasters are just as dangerous.
Yeah, for sure. But we're grateful. We're all okay. We win the lottery. We woke up today.
Yeah.
Everything was good. We wake up tomorrow.
Blood pressure is a little elevated. Again. My doctor was like, yeah, it's elevated, but considering your morning, I think that's probably expected. Yeah. I'm like, can I get a little Xanax? No, you can't take Xanax when you're pregnant, apparently, but that's okay. I've got a good husband that keeps me calm.
That's right.
I love you. I'm grateful for you. And I'm grateful for your protection and your bravery, you and Keith. And I'm just so thankful for everything.
I love you. Well, that was our life update. So until next time, Mama, Mystery, out.
Oh, bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.